Sanchez was born in the Bronx in 1968 to Puerto Rican parents. His stepfather was a heroin addict, and one of Sanchez's first memories was of a horrific fight between his mother and stepfather.
I think I was about four years old. And I was in the bed with my mom, and he comes over. He comes into the house, and I can see my mom getting fidgety and pulling me closer to her. And he's like, let's go. So he takes me to the room, puts me in the bed. Then I hear them arguing. And my mother's like, no, you know, you just can't come in here. No, like, you need to leave. And the argument keeps ensuing. Eventually, he hits my mother with a broomstick or something like that, breaks the broomstick over her head.
The argument continued to escalate after that.
I come out, my sisters are starting to cry. They woke up to the commotion. I'm keeping them in the room. I'm trying to keep them in the room so that way they're not in the way of anything. And we're just huddled up like in a corner. My mother's on the ground. They're both on the ground. My mother gets up and starts running towards the kitchen. And while she's running, she says, go back into the room. She goes into the kitchen. And he gets up. He gets this bat, this baseball bat. My mother grabs a knife. And from the kitchen, about, I don't want to say around 10 to 20 feet, she throws the knife at him. It lands in his chest, and he falls back. He looks at me, and he looks at her, and I guess he dies.
Sanchez's mother was not prosecuted because she'd acted in self-defense, but it contributed to an already traumatic childhood for Sanchez. By the time he was in high school, his mother was an alcoholic and out of work. It was up to him to provide food for his two sisters and mother through an after-school job.
I went to the High School of Art and Design, and I met my girlfriend, who eventually became my wife at 18. I remember saying to myself, like, I remember realizing, like, wow, wait a minute, I'm growing up. I'm 17, 18 years old, and I have nothing.
Sanchez was excelling at school and was a star baseball player. Then he found out his girlfriend was pregnant. They had no money even to buy a crib.
So you start panicking. You're like, oh my God, I don't have enough. You know what's going to happen if my child needs pampers, if my child needs, you know, food. Like, I don't know anything about that stuff.
That's when one of Sanchez's acquaintances approached him. You know you can make $1,000 a week selling crack. Sanchez didn't want to do it, but the person told him, just come and observe for a few days and see what you think. So he agreed.
I started noticing. I was like, wow, this is not hard, you know? But the people who were coming to buy were a bit scary for me. I didn't admit that. But there were scary people, and I used to say to myself, like, wow, like, you know, what if something happens? I used to see guns laying around and stuff like that, and I used to say, wow, like, I don't even know how to pick one of those things up and shoot it. Like, I never shot a gun in my life. I never even held one. And here are all these guns all over the place. So I knew it wasn't for me. In fact, that's what I said that day. I said, I don't think I'm going to come back to this place.
Unfortunately, Sanchez had left his book bag in the apartment.
I said, let me go back and get my books, but I'm done with this type of stuff. Like, I'm going to let Casey know that I don't want to be part of this. I told him, I need to get my books. I left them upstairs, and I need that because I think I have a test the next day. He said, here's the keys. You know where to get them. I was like, okay. I felt comfortable. I've been in the house before. All I had to do was go in and come out.
Just as Sanchez was coming out of the apartment, the police showed up.
I come out the apartment with my school books. And as soon as I come out the apartment, there's a gun in my face. The officer pulled out a gun in my face. And says, where are you going? I said, I'm going downstairs. Why? And he takes me by the neck and he pushes me into another empty apartment. They go into the apartment not knowing they had no warrant or anything like that. And they found all these drugs in that apartment, and I ended up getting 15 years. You know, technically, I didn't commit a crime. I didn't sell anything. I didn't have anything on my person. I was just in an apartment that had drugs in it. And I was the only one there. I was the only idiot there.
Even though Sanchez had no previous record, had no drugs on his person or in his system, he was charged with 15 years to life in prison under the mandatory minimum law for crack cocaine.
I was a good kid, so I never thought that I would go to prison. I never thought that. I thought I would be playing second base for the Yankees. Like, I was an artist, a dancer. I never committed a crime. I wasn't that kid. I just happened to, you know, do something stupid, like a bad decision at a bad time. I had no role models whatsoever, male or female. And I think it was easy for me to make a mistake by hanging out with the wrong people at the wrong time. And that's what I did.
Sanchez went immediately to Sing Sing, one of the toughest maximum security prisons in New York State.
You know, it was scary, and I had trouble adjusting in the beginning because I kept saying my life is ruined. Like, I'm here for 15 years. Like, I felt bad for my mom. I felt like, wow, my mom is going to feel like a failure. And then my daughter's going to grow up without a dad. That killed me. That killed me that I couldn't see my daughter grow up. That I missed her graduation. That I missed her birthdays. That I missed all the little things that meant something to her at a young age. And I wasn't there for any of it.
Despite feeling desperate about being in prison, Sanchez was inspired by a relationship with a mentor to begin working on his education, starting with earning his GED. Education changed his life.
What education did for me, it articulated all the things that I knew what was happening to me. And it made sense out of my life. It made sense out of everything. The racism, the discrimination, how economics played a role in my incarceration, how all these little things now made sense. It explained the world to me, explained everything to me, explained my place in the world. It explained why I was in the position that I was in. And I was like, okay, now that I understand, now I can do something about it. Now I know where to go. Now I know who to write to. I know where I have to concentrate my efforts.
Once Sanchez got started on an education, he didn't stop. He earned a bachelor's degree through a program run by Mercy College, and then a master's degree in theology from New York Theological Seminary. While in prison, Sanchez also began working on creating an arts program for other inmates.
It's called Rehabilitation Through the Arts, and it was playwriting and acting and poetry and doing these big productions on the Sing Sing stage. And we went from these really archaic kind of sets to creating these moving sets that you see in Broadway. And we did really, really well with this program, and it saved a lot of people's lives. It gave the men something to do. Now I think the program is in like seven different facilities across New York. and there's prisons all across the United States that would like to replicate the program. We're actually working on a show now that is, it's like a traveling troupe around different prisons in New York, and we're going to do shows for the population there.
Rehabilitation Through the Arts has been so successful a program that they are doing their 20th anniversary at Carnegie Hall with a show about transitioning out of prison. Sanchez spent 15 years behind bars. When he finally got out, he began working on a second master's degree in social work so that he could help people transitioning out of prison. He has been out 16 years now and is the program manager at Connections to Care, an employment readiness program.
I work with everybody, a lot of formerly incarcerated individuals and non-formerly incarcerated. We address the mental health needs of our clients. So I do two things. It's two-pronged. I train staff in mental health components, modules such as mental health first aid, motivational interviewing, psychoeducation. And I also provide a track for clients who need to support a mental health provider. And I provide the track for them to get that help.
These kinds of support programs make all the difference for people trying to make a go of it out of prison.
I think what helps them the most is to surround themselves by a team of people that will support them. And I don't mean by the physical support, I'm not talking about financial. I mean, that could be part of it. But support in the sense when they need somebody to talk to, or the moments that they're afraid, that they have somebody that they can go to and say, I don't know where to go next. You know, like, what do you think?
Sanchez was inspired to become a mentor for others because of the volunteers who supported him during his time in prison.
You know, everyone thinks we need a couple of dollars and a train fare to get back and forth. And that's nothing. You know, what we need is somebody there that's going to listen to us, that's going to acknowledge our fear of coming home, someone where we can talk to, someone that can, teach us.
While Sanchez was busy trying to help others getting out of prison, he found himself desperately needing help.
I was 37 at the time, and I was working out, and I couldn't do the same things I've been doing all my life. Like, I just wasn't as strong. I always felt weak. I was tired walking up the steps. And my friend takes me to the emergency room one day after ignoring it for about 7 to 8 months. And the doctor says, you have end-stage renal disease. And I flipped out because I was just so pissed off. It was like, wow, I got to do 15 years and now I'm hit with something else.
Sanchez went on dialysis, but one of the former prisoners he'd helped, Felix Aponte, hadn't forgotten him.
He heard that I was sick and he said, look, I heard you're sick and I'm in Florida, but I want to get to New York and I want to give you a kidney. I'm like, no, Felix, no. He kept saying yes. And eventually I got the kidney, you know, and I was forever grateful.
Even with all of Sanchez's success, life has not been easy after prison. He still feels the stigma attached to being an ex-offender.
That was a big fear of mine. I was afraid to tell people. But then once I embraced it, I said, look, you know, I did 15 years for this crime. But this is who I am today. I have to tell the truth. That was a promise I made when I came home from prison, that I'm always going to be truthful. Once I was able to learn how to do that and be comfortable in that, then that wasn't a problem. Every single time, I've never gotten any Negative reaction.
Sanchez is now fighting kidney failure for the second time, but his hope and belief in the goodness of others remain strong.
I think everyone deserves to be listened to, that everyone has good in them. I think that everyone has the ability to do good, and that if we can be much more supportive of each other, I think that goes a long way in changing people's lives. Even though I complain about certain aspects of my life, I am pretty successful for somebody who's gone through what I've gone through. I never lost hope. I think hope is probably the most important component in life, because if you have hope, you have everything. And I think people who walk forward in faith and believe that the good in life is going to come their way, I think that's always the best thing.